Produced by PI Media.
Hi, I'm Ran Levy, and this is CP Radio. It was the 13th of August 2016 when an anonymous person writing in broken English created a new post on the website Pastebin. Quote, "Attention government sponsors of cyber warfare and those who profit from it. How much you pay for enemies' cyber weapons?" To date, the post has fewer than 500 views, but its story made international headlines. Its authors, calling themselves the Shadow Brokers, claim to have possession of some of the most powerful cyber weapons ever created, stolen from arguably the world's most powerful hackers, Equation Group, an arm of the NSA. Normally, such an outlandish claim wouldn't be taken so seriously. It's like if a terrorist organization claimed to have stolen nukes from the US military, we probably wouldn't believe them. But Shadow Brokers weren't bluffing. In five leaks over the year that followed, they released highly classified NSA data, including multiple fully-fledged NSA exploit tools capable of hacking most any Windows machine in the world. So, really, this was more like if terrorists actually did get their hands on all the US military's nukes and just said, "Hey everybody, free nukes, come get them." Following the leaks, some important questions were left on the table. Who were these shadow brokers? Their achievements, their bad English, and their motives suggested Russia, perhaps with help from an American insider. The most difficult question of all to answer was, of course, how did they do it? Those questions remain unanswered to this day, but in early 2019, a new piece of the story emerged, something few expected or even thought to consider. The Shadow Brokers hacked the NSA, but they were not the only ones.
So basically, we followed on a similar investigation that was done by our peers at Symantec.
Yaniv Balmas is the head of cyber research at Checkpoint and a veteran security researcher in malware system design, architecture, and management. In May 2019, his research team became interested when Symantec, a security company, published evidence that the NSA had been hacked a full year before the Shadow Brokers leaks began. The perpetrators were commonly referred to as APT3 or Bakai.
APT3 is a Chinese threat actor group. It's mainly associated with the Chinese government. And I first heard of it because there were several attacks happening associated to APT3 that have attacked the United States.
APT3 was able to develop a Windows exploit tool known as BEMSTOR, based off an NSA tool called Eternal Romance. These backdoors each took advantage of zero-day vulnerabilities in Windows systems. Specifically, they targeted SMB, Server Message Block, a protocol that allows networked computers to share access to files, printers, and such. Because SMB is so common and connects so many computers together, it's particularly powerful in the hands of an attacker.
This vulnerability was very unique in the sense that it was if it would be used as an exploit, it would be very, very widely used because it's very consistent. It will work on almost any condition, on almost any operating system, any version.
Any Windows operating system.
Any Windows operating system in any version, which practically means the potential target number of this vulnerability is millions and millions of computers all over the world. And you know, if you consider that SMB is usually a protocol that is exposed to the world or for sure in the internal network, then That means that the consequences of an attack using this specific vulnerability would be catastrophic.
With their exploit in hand, APT3 attacked targets in Belgium, Luxembourg, the Philippines, Vietnam, and Hong Kong. All things considered, though, the damage wasn't so bad. It wasn't the destructiveness that made BEMSTOR worth looking into, or how powerful its exploit was. In fact, many more hacking tools to come would use this very same SMB vulnerability. After it was leaked by the shadow brokers, it was used in the WannaCry attacks. So what made BEMSTOR interesting wasn't what it was used for or how powerful it was, but when it was first discovered. The first instance of BEMSTOR was discovered in the wild on March 31st of 2016, over a year before that SMB vulnerability was leaked by the shadow brokers. In other words, the Chinese were able to replicate the NSA's Eternal Romance exploit tool over a year before shadow brokers leaked anything.
So we sat down in my security research group and we thought, you know, why is there not a lot of information out there?
One of the problems you run into when investigating an international war of cyber espionage is that just about any scenario you can think of is possible. The NSA has a history of Hollywood-style tactics like spying on world leaders and intercepting and bugging commercial computers along their delivery routes. The Chinese have developed massive cyber-spying tools to propagate state control and used plants to funnel trade secrets from the West. So with Equation Group and APT3, anything is possible.
So basically, what we were looking for is to answer one major question. I mean, how did APT3, how did the Chinese get hold of this vulnerability 1 year before the leak? So even before you touch the sample, the malware itself, you can, you know, throw a few scenarios. So one of them would be they put a spy inside the NSA and he took a discount key and he stole the code and he took it to China. Another might be that maybe the Americans attacked the Chinese or something that the Chinese knew about. And then they could kind of look at this attack and try and, you know, pull the information out of there.
Watch the traffic on the network itself.
Right. Or maybe they found an infected computer and then, you know, took it from the computer itself.
The code, the actual code that's running, the binary.
Yeah, and they did the same process as we do, like reverse engineering. They found, this is a very nice vulnerability. Let's do something with that. Mm-hmm. So these are all pretty valid options when we start our research. And we need to focus and kind of say it's this one and it can't be this one and it can't be this one. And this is our major goal in this project.
The team began their investigation by searching for clues within the malware.
So sometimes when you reverse engineer and research a malware, it might take you a day, sometimes it will take you a week, sometimes it will take you a year. And it really depends on how does it operate, on which level on the operating system, what does it do, and how sophisticated is it. In this specific case, and since it used the SMB vulnerability, and this specific vulnerability exists in the Windows kernel, so it's kind of low level inside the operating systems, inside the operating system, which makes it more difficult for us to reverse engineer. There's a lot of opaque structures in there, and you need a lot of understanding in the kernel itself and in the SMB protocol. And then you need to compare this to the actual equation group. So there's a lot of complexities involved in here, which makes it not the easiest research project we've ever done.
Despite all the possibilities, problems, and complex scripts in front of them, Yaniv and his team knew one thing for certain. Unless there was a mole, the Eternal Romance exploit had to, at some point, end up on a computer under Chinese control. Maybe it was a machine owned by APT3, targeted by Equation Group. Maybe it was a machine APT3 had previously hacked, before Equation Group hacked it, or a honeypot APT3 had set up as a trap for their adversaries.
So we start digging into this thing and looking for breadcrumbs, stuff that will lead us to the right answer. And there were several ones. And if I need to generalize this, I would say that the typical attack by this vulnerability is pretty sophisticated, and it's composed of several parts to it. We were looking to see which parts are exactly similar to what was leaked and what was changed. And by looking at these diffs, at these changes between them, we can maybe understand, hey, they changed this. Why did they change this? Maybe because they didn't have this information. And if they didn't have this information, which scenario does it match? Mm. So that was the main logic behind this.
Where Symantec had previously discovered all the similarities between BEMSTOR and the NSA tools it had replicated, Yaniv's team soon realized that the differences between the exploits revealed just as much as the similarities. This is a crucial point. The similarities between Eternal Romance and BEMSTOR indicated only that the latter was copied from the former. The differences hinted at more interesting details, like what the Chinese didn't manage to capture, and therefore in what ways their operation was limited.
So the first breadcrumb is the fact that the original vulnerability or the original exploit used a kind of a tool that's called FuzzBench, right? And you would expect to see this tool as well in the Chinese APT, but we couldn't find it, so it wasn't there.
So if somebody would have, as you said, maybe took a USB full of code from the NSA itself,
it should have been there. Right.
But it's not.
It's not. So we can maybe start to rule out this option, not completely yet, but it kind of points us to the right direction. And now, the exploit used by APT3 used several techniques in order to support newer operating system, newer Windows operating system, which were actually not part of the original leak. So it was something that was added on top of it. And that, again, makes you wonder if they had the full code, maybe they wouldn't need it, but maybe they didn't, if we see it that way.
What Yaniv is saying, essentially, is that the APT3 exploit both contained code the original NSA tool didn't, and didn't include code that the NSA tool did. Now, none of this is conclusive evidence on its own. Plenty of hackers use previous malware as a basis for creating their own unique malware. But what motivation would APT3 have to get rid of a perfectly good NSA tool in their own exploit? It's like receiving two Christmas presents and throwing one of them out because you decide you only need one.
Another thing, for example, is that APT3 and this vulnerability specifically works on the SMB protocol, as we said. And by inspecting the traffic itself, we can see some suspicious hard-coded values, values that state computer names or IP addresses or stuff like that.
These hard-coded values provided the team its next clues.
So think about it that way. So the SMB protocol has several arguments, several variables that exist in there. And if you use the protocol as it should be used, these variables will change all the time. They will never be the same. But if they are hard-coded, it kind of leads you to understand that somebody maybe took something, just saw this, like moving on the network, captured it, and then just replayed it, reused it. Mm-hmm. And by doing so, he preserved these values that shouldn't have been preserved. So that's another breadcrumb that leads us to the right scenario.
If this point is confusing you, think about it like this. Imagine Yaniv is really fashionable, and I'm not. I want to be more fashionable like Yaniv, so when he walks into our podcast studio, I take a mental image of what he's wearing. Then I go out to the store and buy his exact outfit. You can tell in this scenario that I'm not actually fashionable, only copying. an actual fashionable person would have their own style. They'd walk into the podcast studio one day with one stylish outfit, then another day with an outfit of a completely different style. I have only my one fashionable outfit now, and I'll probably wear it every day because I have nothing else that's good. Eternal Romance was like Yaniv, unique with many moving parts. Bamstor was like me, a snapshot copy.
So one of these, or several of these hard-coded values, were very, very interesting. They contained a computer name, a domain name, and
the username.
And the username, right. And that kind of led us to believe that what really happened in the scenario that the Chinese got this exploit by is by somehow capturing network traffic that used this vulnerability and just took a look at it, reverse engineered it, as I said, replayed this over and over again and kind of made this a tool of their own.
In their report published in September, Checkpoint revealed their conclusions that APT3 likely observed Eternal Romance acting on a computer they'd overseen or controlled, captured and observed it, then replicated and modified it to create their own malware, Bamstor.
How hard is it to do something like that?
Well, it's not easy. It is possible. It takes a lot of resources, a lot of knowledge, and not speaking even about the intelligence operation that you need to prepare in order to actually be able to capture the traffic and make the Americans attack a network that you control and you, without them knowing about that. So if you put all of this together, it's a really, really, really complex operation, which takes a lot of resources and probably a lot of time to do.
The story of Bamstor is complicated, and we still don't, and will likely never, know everything that actually happened. Like, what machine did APT3 capture Eternal Romance on? Were they expecting it? Was it, say, a honeypot or some other kind of trap? And I know it sounds odd to ask, but why didn't APT3, once they reconstructed one of the most powerful cyber weapons on the open internet, not use it to more effect? I mentioned earlier this episode that the group hacked only a handful of targets located in 5 small countries. Much more damage could have been done.
It does give us some glimpse into the mysterious world of intelligence agencies working in cyberspace, kind of the spy versus spy action that's going on behind the scenes. I think it's very fascinating to see this. It's kind of fascinating to understand the amount of resources and knowledge and experience that are being used in order to kind of fuel this cyber espionage and this cyber war between huge nations.
Bamstor continued to be found in the wild until 2018. However, by 2017, just 1 year after hacking Eternal Romance, APT3 disbanded. Equation Group remains at large to this day, finding new zero-day vulnerabilities and devising new cyber weapons capable of breaching new machines. Thanks for listening to the Checkpoint Research Podcast, written and researched by Nate Nelson, edited and narrated by me, Ran Levy. See you next time.
Intrusion prevention systems detect or prevent attempts to exploit weaknesses in vulnerable systems or applications, protecting you in the race to exploit the latest breaking threat. Checkpoint IPS protections and our next generation firewalls are updated automatically. Whether that vulnerability was released years ago or just a few minutes ago, your organization is protected. To learn more, go to www.checkpoint.com/products/intrusion-prevention-system-IPS.